Kept getting better. That's what he does. He keeps getting better. He finds a groove or rhythm with his fastball. His delivery gets cleaner. And then once he gets ahead in the count, he's got that wipeout splitter. Then on offense, I mean, he did everything there, including bunting for a hit. I mean, if you weren't entertained by watching him tonight, you can't be entertained watching a game of baseball.
That's Angels manager Joe Maddon, listing just a few of the things that Shohei Ohtani did in his last start as a pitcher, where he struck out 9 batters, but then turned around and scored 3 times and drove in 2. But not only that, Ohtani became the first pitcher to start a game while also leading the majors in home runs in 100 years, something no human had done since Babe Ruth. Tonight, Ohtani takes on history again, pitching and hitting in Anaheim. So Aldin Gonzalez traces the trajectory of a modern-day baseball legend. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Monday, May 3rd. This is ESPN Daily. So full disclosure here, Aldin, we had you on the podcast when Mina was hosting to talk about Shohei Ohtani back before the 2020 season. Is that right?
That is correct, Pablo.
Aldin Gonzalez covers baseball for ESPN, and he is a seasoned guest of this podcast.
The first time I went out with Mina, I don't know if you remember, I like practiced saying like, hello, Mina.
All right, you ready for some hellos?
This is a lot of pressure.
Okay.
I've been thinking about this moment for an embarrassingly long time.
We're going to use that now.
I was actually driving over here and I'm like, hello, Mina. Hi, Mina.
But now you're polished. That's the thing. Aldin Gonzalez, thank you for joining me, man. I really do appreciate it.
Pablo, it is my distinct honor to be with you.
So the last time you were on the show, Aldin, you were all in on the Ohtani revolution. You marveled at his towering wins above replacement rating, aka WAR, the sabermetrics thing that measures how valuable a player is to his team. And for the 2020 season, you had envisioned Shohei as possibly even more valuable to the Angels by that same metric than his teammate and all-time outfielder, Mike Trout.
It was unbridled enthusiasm, Pablo. And with the benefit of hindsight, that might have been flawed thinking. I maybe didn't take stock of, number one, how difficult it is to be a two-way player in the major leagues, but also just the impact of coming back from major surgery. And as a side note, I probably also didn't anticipate the global health crisis and the shortened season that would come of that.
Yeah, I don't know how much you personally should be saddled with the year 2020 as a concept, Aldin, but just remind us what happened specifically to Shohei Ohtani, because he went off and had Tommy John surgery in the fall of 2018, and then he served as a DH exclusively in 2019, only hitting, and then the plan was for him to be a two-way player again in 2020, hitting from the left side, throwing righty. But what happened after the truncated major league season last year finally got underway?
Shohei Ohtani was a disaster.
Well, the much-anticipated return of Shohei Ohtani.
Outside, and he walks in a run. Semien trots home, 1-0 Oakland.
He made 2 starts. He gave up 7 runs.
This is Mark Canna. Drill to right field, and that's going to bring home a couple runs. Mark Canna comes through for Oakland and makes it 3-0.
He recorded 5 outs, couldn't get anybody out.
They'll chat with Ohtani.
Telly searching a little bit.
No outs recorded.
His numbers offensively were bad early on. It was so obvious watching him hit that he was pressing to just sort of catch up. So the 2020 season ends, and there's a very noticeable theme that Shohei Ohtani is running out of chances to prove that he could do this two-way thing in the United States. And so he goes about his offseason as aggressively as he ever has. He completely altered his diet. He changed up his weight training regimen. And so he shows up to spring training and he looks like the best athlete on the field immediately.
And now the season is underway and Ohtani is 26 years old. He is conspicuously chiseled, as you say. He is back to looking like the most absurdly talented player in baseball, Aldin. So I imagine that those wounds from when you were overhyping him before last season That scar tissue must be healed by now.
The scar tissue has mostly been healed, but it's been healed by 98 mile per hour fastballs and ridiculous splitters that nobody can seem to hit. I feel like he can do this, Pablo. I really do. I feel like he has the talent offensively when you talk about power, speed, bat control.
First pitch swinging.
Oh, and first pitch crushing! Oh, man! Lean into it!
I think he has the talent pitching-wise when you talk about just the raw stuff that he has.
Here's the 0-2 pitch, and that is a called third strike. He struck him out looking, so a couple more strikeouts for Shohei. He has set down 13 of the last 14.
Think about just what he's done already this year, right? So he's averaging 97 miles per hour on his fastball, which for us, even in this day and age, that is pretty rare for a starting pitcher. His split finger fastball has generated 18 strikeouts and zero hits. Okay. He is among the top in baseball in home runs, in percentage of times that he hits the ball on the barrel of his bat, which we now measure as well. Every time he plays, it seems like he sets a new record for exit velocity or speed around the bases. This is a guy who plays on a team with Mike Trout. Mike Trout might go down as the greatest baseball player ever. But the things that Shohei Ohtani can do, he's a unicorn, Pablo. He really is.
So I want to zoom out here for a second, Alden, so we can just see the broader history of baseball for a second. What does it mean to have a player like Shohei Ohtani both pitch and hit as well as he has?
I think we struggle to sometimes contextualize how difficult it is for Shohei to be doing what he is doing right now. Because it is exceedingly difficult to be a pitcher in the major leagues. You know this. It is especially difficult to do it in an era of specialization like this one, where you have kids who, from the time they're basically teenagers or maybe even younger, are sharpening very specific skill sets to master being either one or the other. And the fact that you have somebody coming along now who is showing, at the very least, the propensity to be able to do both of them is nothing short, Pablo, of astonishing. There's a reason why nobody has been able to do this since Babe Ruth.
Yeah, Ruth was the last player to both start a game as a pitcher and lead the league in home runs at the same time. That was June 1921, the last time that happened.
And look, there's a lot of skepticism around whether or not Shohei could do this for a six-month regular season, whether or not he can stay healthy. But I truly believe, even though we haven't seen it over the course of a really large sample size, I feel like he can do this, Pablo.
I do want to understand, Alden, where he came from in Japan. What do we even know about his background in his home country?
So Shohei grew up in a rural town in Japan called Oshu. It's about 300 miles north of Tokyo. My understanding was that it was a very rural community. I think the most popular attractions there is a cattle museum. So that probably tells you everything you need to know about where he grew up. His parents were athletes, not to the level of being professional athletes, well-regarded, but he comes from an athletic upbringing. And all my understanding about Shohei is that he has been obsessed with baseball his whole life. He has become an urban legend in Japan. He is almost like a mythical figure out there. And there are just a bunch of these sort of stories about him. One popular one, and I think Shohei denied that it was true. But when he was a kid, when he was first starting out to play baseball, the reason why he's so good at hitting the ball to center field, hitting the ball to the opposite field, was because when he was a teenager, there was a river that ran behind an outfield wall where him and his team would play games and practice all the time. And Shohei Ohtani kept hitting the ball over the fence in right field and into the river, and they kept losing baseballs. So the coach told him, you need to hit the ball to center field so that we don't lose all these balls. And that's why he has that up the middle approach that he has. Now, I think he denied that, but it's so much more fun if it's true. Pablo, before Shohei Ohtani graduated high school, he was throwing 99 miles per hour. That was a record in Japan for a high school kid. The Nippon Ham Fighters, actually, when they drafted him coming out of high school, had to convince him to sign with them as opposed to trying to play in the United States.
I just want to pause on the Nippon Ham Fighters name here, Alden, because that is a great name. It is a name based on being owned by a food processing company in Japan, and the team is a big deal in Japan. Japan probably has the second best pro baseball league in the world behind the United States. But why did the Nippon Ham Fighters let Shohei Ohtani try to do this insane two-way job that nobody else does there either?
The reason why he was able to do it is the same reason why he was able to do it in the United States. And it was as simple as, if you want me to play for your team, you need to give me the ability to do this. And they did so by basically laying out a blueprint that let him feel like they would be able to prepare him to eventually come out to the United States and to be able to show that he could be a two-way player here. He's a guy who, from my understanding, doesn't go out and party much, doesn't drink. He's just baseball obsessed. The first 4 years that you play in the Nippon Baseball League in Japan, players are required to stay at a dormitory that is very close to where their team works out, trains. Shohei stayed at that dormitory. For the fifth year, he could have gone on and lived anywhere else. He chose to stay at the same dormitory because he wanted to be as close to the facility as possible. He did the same thing with the Angels out here in Anaheim, wanted to live as close to the stadium as possible. I mean, Pablo, Shohei didn't even have a driver's license. He had never driven a car until February of 2020. That was the first time that he had obtained the driver's license.
I just love, Alden, the mental image I just developed of the guy who is giving Shohei Ohtani his driver's test. And he's like, yeah, you can hit the ball 120 miles an hour. Yeah, you can throw 102, but can you parallel park?
Yeah, Shohei can hit for the cycle, but he can't execute a three-point turn. There's a video of him playing in a game at the Tokyo Dome, which you could find, where Shohei Ohtani hits a ball literally through the roof at Tokyo Dome.
It breaks a hole in the roof?
I don't know where it ended up, but the camera lost it and they zoomed in on the roof and they showed that it just went through it.
So I just found, Alden, the video of Shohei Ohtani hitting the ball through the roof of the Tokyo Dome. You see the camera basically like pan back and around, and it finally points up as like infielders are like holding their gloves in the air, very confused. And then it seems to just settle on the idea that this dude just hit this ball vertically out of a building that was covered by a dome. It is insane.
When you talk about just raw ability, I talk to people throughout the game all the time about him. They don't know who to compare him to because they have literally never seen anything like this.
All right, after the break, I want to take a closer look at how Shohei's season is going so far and what that means for anyone else who might dare to be like him.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So Alden, I want to ask you about this season in particular, Shohei Ohtani's fourth season with the Angels, because you'd alluded to it. Shohei had not pitched at all in 2019 after getting Tommy John surgery, and that raised real questions about the viability of this entire experiment, this two-way experiment in the major leagues. But now Joe Maddon, the former manager of the Cubs, that's the guy who's spearheading a whole new regime with the Angels. So the way Maddon is choosing to use Ohtani, how does that compare to how he'd been used in previous years?
It differs greatly. I think to Joe Maddon's credit, this is Joe Maddon's second season with the Angels, and he wanted him to, quote, take control of his own career. That was the phrase that Joe Maddon kept saying. So if he didn't like something or if he wanted to do something, he wanted Shohei to speak up about it. And then the second thing that Joe Maddon wanted to do was he wanted to lift all of those fabricated restrictions that Shohei had before. Now, I will note that Shohei had those restrictions for good reason. He was coming over to a new league. He was doing an unprecedented thing, or he was coming off surgery. This year, Joe Maddon wanted him to just have the freedom to play baseball without limits. And what that meant was that if he wanted a hit the day before he started or the day after he started, he could do it. If he wanted to be in the lineup the day of his start, which was a complete no-no even in Japan, he could do it. And so through that, what we've seen is you're starting to see bits of Shohei Ohtani's personality begin to spill out. We see somebody who is a fierce competitor. There was one at-bat earlier this year. Shohei Ohtani is facing Joe Smith. Joe Smith is a veteran sidearm reliever for the Houston Astros, one of the most well-regarded teammates in baseball, somebody that I know pretty well. Shohei Ohtani is hitting against him with a couple of men on base, and he gets hit with a breaking ball.
Got it.
Obviously, Joe Smith did not mean to hit him. But Shohei Ohtani, instead of just dipping his head and jogging to first base, as he is prone to do, he gives Joe Smith this death stare.
Shohei took a long look out to Smith.
That makes me feel like he is going to charge the mound and fight this man.
Shohei, you know what? He hit him. It's never fun to be hit with a baseball.
Mike Trout was asked about it after the game, and he laughed about it. He said, I think Shohei just wanted a hit. But I have never seen that sort of rage come out. That's the kind of thing from Shohei that we hadn't seen before. I started talking to a lot of players on the Angels about how Shohei Ohtani is actually secretly hilarious. He's got this really quirky, sarcastic sense of humor that began to manifest itself a little bit. But I think what is starting to come out now in year four, and I think with the benefit of him having the confidence and the freedom to do both of these things at will, is just this steely competitiveness that he has that we're finally starting to see manifest itself in games.
I am just curious, does any of this happen, I suppose, if Joe Maddon is not willing to do these things?
I don't think so. And when Joe Maddon was first hired, actually during his introductory news conference, I talked to him on the side that day, and he talked about how he was wondering about whether or not it's possible for Shohei to just sort of pitch and hit on the same day. And the look that he got when he kept bringing that up was like, what are you talking about? No, that's not a thing that we do here. But interestingly enough, Pablo, they feel like hitting and pitching on the same day is actually a major benefit for Shohei Ohtani because it doesn't allow him the bandwidth to dwell on either of the two. And I think his last start is a perfect example of this because think about how crazy this is. He gives up four runs in the bottom of the first. The team is down 4-1.
He does throw that one down the middle. And Lowe turns on it. Hits it deep to right. Gone! Three-run shot by Nate Lowe. And the Rangers jump out in front in the first.
He comes back up in the top of the second. He's got two runners on. He lines a two-run double to right field.
One pitch is rocked into right field. That's damage. And two of those runs come right back.
It's a 4-3 game. He's on second base. Mike Trout hits a bloop single. Shohei Ohtani comes around to score.
And Trout sends the ball out to shallow left field. Coming on is Dahl, and he's able only to trap it. Scoring from second is Ohtani, and it's tied up again.
All of a sudden, it's 4-4. Shohei Ohtani said that he went back to the mound with a renewed confidence, with a feeling that this was a brand new game. And from that point forward, he retired 12 of the next 13 batters that he faced, 8 of them on strikeouts. He was a completely new guy. And that was the perfect encapsulation for why the Angels feel like this is exactly the way they need to treat Shohei Ohtani. They need to let him just play baseball.
So as Shohei is doing all of this at the same time, and currently he's hitting these home runs that are flying off the bat faster than anybody else out of the ballpark. He is currently sporting a 3.29 ERA with 23 strikeouts, 13 and a half innings pitched. Is this replicable with anyone else? Are there other guys who could do this, do you think? How purely singular is Ohtani in terms of his ability to even attempt this?
Shohei is undoubtedly an outlier, but I don't know that he is a complete anomaly. I don't know if maybe at this level, but the names that keep getting brought up to me when Shohei Ohtani is doing things like this is, I wonder if Zach Greinke would have been able to do something like this if he were given the chance.
A pitcher who has been famously impressive in the opportunities he gets to hit.
And who was shown an ability to be really athletic defensively as well, and who just, he's one of those athletes that everything comes easily to. Another name that was brought up to me, Josh Hamilton. Now, obviously, there were other extenuating circumstances that caused him to not even have a chance at doing that.
Right. He struggled with drug and alcohol addiction before, during, and after his major league career. He last played in 2015.
But somebody like Josh Hamilton, who became the five-tool offensive player that he became, was throwing upper 90s as a left-handed pitcher as well. Pablo, think about all the guys at the amateur levels who get drafted, who you see are good pitchers and hitters. I mean, you've seen them all your life in Little League. You saw them in high school.
Yeah.
And whenever they get drafted, they have to pick one or the other. I'm not saying you're going to get a ton of Shohei Ohtanis, but I don't think there's any doubt that teams are going to be a lot more open-minded about finding those guys. Or at the very least, when they identify them in the draft, when they sign them internationally, they're going to give them the opportunity to do both of those roles.
And as for Major League Baseball, the commissioner's office itself, Alden, what would their interests be in all of this? Because they are a sport that has been so nakedly thirsty to evolve the game.
Major League Baseball has become obsessed with increasing or improving the entertainment value of its product. And I don't think there's anything that triggers this sort of organic joy like somebody like Shohei Ohtani doing what he is doing. The palpable joy that I felt when Shohei Ohtani made that start on Sunday Night Baseball in the first weekend of the season against the White Sox, there was this one moment from that game that for some reason, it just stuck out to me. Shohei Ohtani was running havoc on the bases. He was sliding everywhere, getting dirty. And then all of a sudden, the inning ends and he's got to jog back to the dugout. He's got to put his helmet down. He's got to take off his shin guards. He's got to grab his glove. He's got to hustle back to the mound because he's got to pitch. And I remember him walking and approaching the rubber, and he has to adjust his belt buckle, and he's got to fix his hat, he's got to tuck in his back pocket. It's something that I hadn't seen since my Little League days. And suddenly, a corporate league like Major League Baseball became so relatable. Somebody was doing something that you remember seeing when you were a kid. And that's why, if Shohei Ohtani succeeds, we're going to see more of him. You're going to see some of those walls start to come down in baseball. And I think it's going to create that innocent joy that has been so elusive for this game for so long.
Alden Gonzalez, thank you for being reasonable, but also a little bit unbridled with us on ESPN Daily.
Appreciate it, Pablo. I really wanted to come up with like a witty closing line. It just didn't come.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we're going to use that tape of you saying that you wanted a witty line as the witty line, which is how our producers roll.
How do I always walk into this? This is my second time walking into this.
Up next, how the European Super League story has escalated to a dramatic new level.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Here's another story I want you to know. Across the pond yesterday, a big Sunday in the English Premier League was unfolding. Arsenal was busy facing Newcastle, and the Premiership's biggest rivalry, Manchester United against Liverpool, was set to kick off later in the day. But then, everything changed.
We have to break into this game. We will keep the game on one side of the screen, but we have to show you the scenes that are unfolding right now on the pitch at Old Trafford. Our commentator Arlo White is there for us inside on the gantry. Arlo, can you tell us more?
Yeah, remarkable scenes here, Rebecca. Lee Dixon and myself got here to the gantry at Old Trafford a little early so that we could avoid the protests outside. Well, the noise outside was clearly audible from inside the stadium. We heard a couple of loud bangs as well as fireworks went off. Then all of a sudden there was a loud rattling sound, and then the sound of voices getting closer and closer. And lo and behold, away to our right-hand side, the fans started pouring down the steps here in the Sir Bobby Charlton stand and on to the pitch. And you can see now one or two fans.
The scene was surreal. Hundreds of fans swarming all over the pitch, lighting flares, lighting fireworks, smoke grenades, damaging camera equipment, scaling the goals, injuring two police officers in the process. Yesterday's match between Liverpool and Man United got postponed for a date TBD as fans across Europe raged, railing against the largely foreign-born billionaires who own the teams they love so much, and who, in many of those same fans' minds, almost ruined everything. So on Tuesday, we will dive into all of this international chaos with Sam Borden, connecting it to the short-lived European Super League and this week's UEFA Champions League semifinals. But until then, I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.